It's just after 6 o'clock here on 88.7 WLUW Chicago. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting from the 100-watt pigsty, 88.7, and podcasting exclusively on OutsideTheLoopRadio.com, coming to you from a soundproof booth in the alley next to producer Andy Herman's apartment, near the garbage cans, this is another edition of Outside the Loop Radio, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Back in the booth. In the pigsty, is that what he called us?
The pigsty, yeah.
Is that because we're near garbage cans?
Maybe.
Probably. Welcome to Outside the Loop Radio, show number 106. Here on 88.7 WLUW Chicago. I am your host, Mike Steven.
And I am your executive producer, Andy Herman.
And this is a show that airs every Friday at 6 p.m. right here on WLUW. It's a show that takes a look at issues and topics that don't normally get a whole lot of mainstream media attention. Stuff that kind of flies underneath the radar and different angles on all kinds of Chicago issues. So it's a half-hour slice of Chicago radio. And again, we're here every Friday. And man, I'm still recovering from the party last week, the Outside the Loop Radio 2-year anniversary party.
The big anniversary party. And you did so well. I'm so proud of little Mikey.
Oh, thanks, Andy. By the way, I'm Mike Steven, your host of this program.
And I'm Andy Herman, your executive producer.
Did we say that already?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, really?
Oh,
We said that?
Yeah, we did.
We got to go back and review the tape.
Oh, man. What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
You did so well. I just complimented you.
Well, you know what? I just blew it. And I blew it. I was so in the zone when we were in front of a live audience last week.
Mm-hmm.
I was just focused, and we were doing the show, and it went off pretty well.
It did. I thought it turned out very well.
It was very cool.
You could just see it in your eyes. You were in the zone.
Yeah.
It was kind of scary.
The fire down below.
Yes, sir.
That's a song I'm quoting. Okay. I don't have any fire down below. OutsideTheLoopRadio.com is the show website. Again, OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. We archive all of our programs on that site. You can subscribe to the podcast, link up to our Facebook page, our MySpace page. Email us on that site as well. And yeah, we have that big one-hour special archived on the website.
They entrusted us to an entire hour.
Speaking of this big thing that we did last week, this show, a couple issues here.
Okay.
One big issue.
Okay, what's up?
Well, first of all, intern Biff never showed.
Well, I don't know about that guy.
He's shifty.
We fired him once. I think we might have to again, because, again, he's not here.
he's not.
We're running our own sound cues and everything by ourselves.
That's why I screwed up the intro.
Exactly.
I didn't turn the page on the script because it wasn't there.
Biff.
We are, by the way, in the soundproof booth. We broadcast from the booth every week here on Outside the Loop Radio. And we are next to your apartment building near the garbage cans because we'll be talking about garbage in a couple minutes. But at the end of the program last week, the little announcer guy came back in and he had some credits that he was saying.
Yes.
And because PJ and John from the Bandamen, Ditago, we were all playing a song. And he was supposed to hit the post.
Yes.
He was supposed to take his credits to the post of the song that we were playing on the outro.
I know where you're going with this, because we rehearsed this. We beat it into him. I mean, he was doing so well in rehearsal.
And by the way, if you don't know what taking it to the post is, it's when a cheesy FM DJ, or really anyone on radio, starts to play a song and they start talking. You know, they're given like the closing stocks and the weather and the traffic, and they stop talking right before the vocals kick in on the song. So let's roll that back, because we have a clip of what the little announcer guy did last week. So this is him giving the credits over. PJ starts playing here, and John, they start playing.
Mike Steven and producer Andy Herman. Copyright.
So he's doing great so far.
James
Productions. Because we couldn't do the close, our usual close, because we were on location. We had a million things going on. So he's listen for this. He's supposed to hit the post.
Go to OutsideTheLoopRadio.com and tune in every Friday to the program at 6 p.m. here on 88.7 WLUW.
Did you hear that? Right
see
there.
Next week.
He had to get in to see you next week.
But, you know, he's a trooper. He's a pro. He kept going, you know?
Yeah.
He did his job. He just didn't do it all that
well. He missed the post. Little announcer guy. Can we bring nice harmonica? Can we bring little announcer guy in here?
Yeah, let me see if I can catch him before he hits the bar.
Little announcer guy. Pull up that mic.
All right, here we go.
What happened last week, my friend? What, you missed the post?
Sorry, fellas. I got to tunes a little bit earlier than you guys and started hitting the Bloody Mary bar.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
You should have known.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Well, that's okay. I mean, you are an announcer. You're not a performer, so mm-hmm. he stayed in the booth the whole show, so no one saw him.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know if everything was okay. Is everything okay, little announcer guy?
The economy's tough, but I'm getting through.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Good. That's good.
All right. Well, thank you, little announcer guy.
Thanks for coming by. We really need to have you in for more material often. All right, Andy, we've got a lot to do on Outside the Loop Radio. This is the 106th edition of the program. Later in the show, my friend, what are we doing?
Yes, coming up in just a little bit, we'll be learning about the state of environmental issues in the Great Lakes region.
And yes, we will. Before that, I have a story about a naked picture.
Uh-oh.
And before that, we will learn about issues pertaining to garbage. Yes,
yes,
garbage right here in Chicago. So don't go anywhere. Very interesting stuff coming up here on Outside the Loop. The music that we're featuring this week, and by the way, we feature local music every week on Outside the Loop Radio, comes from the local band The Wise Bloods. They're playing next Thursday at Dark Room on Chicago Avenue. It's good bluesy rock and roll. So check this out from The Wise Bloods. You're listening to Outside the Loop Radio. I am your host, Mike Steven, in the soundproof booth right now with executive producer Andy Herman, right here on WLUW. You know, an important topic that we have to talk about here in Chicago, and, you know, it doesn't often get a whole lot of attention, garbage, Andy.
Garbage.
Garbage in Chicago. We have a lot of it, but, you know, it gets picked up. I think people are pretty much generally happy with the garbage services here in Chicago. Recently, however, the city of Chicago put out this proposal to implement an exclusive franchise system for the collection and disposal of garbage here in the city of Chicago. And so to talk about that, and someone who's been a little critical of this plan put forth by the city is Peggy Macinas. Peggy is the Midwest Regional Manager for the National Solid Wastes Management Association. Peggy, welcome to Outside the Loop.
Thanks, Mike. That's a mouthful, isn't it?
It's okay. But, well, give us a real brief description about what your organization actually does.
Well, the National Solid Waste Management Association, or NSWMA, which is a little bit easier to say, we're a trade association, and we represent the private sector, publicly traded and private sector waste operators, waste and recyclers. We're all over the country, but this specific issue, we represent the companies within the city of Chicago.
Well, give us an idea of how garbage pickup right now is currently structured in Chicago. How does this work?
Well, there's two different types. There is the residential pickup, which is done by the city's Department of Streets and Sanitation. The proposal that you're talking about is having to do with the commercial sector, the businesses and apartment buildings and condos, anything that's five units and above. So restaurants, any kind of a business, big buildings, anything like that, that would be the commercial sector. And right now, it's an open market, meaning that the waste haulers contact the owners, contact the individual businesses. They negotiate the price. They talk about their service qualities. They provide recycling options. And the business owner is able to openly choose and negotiate their contract with that individual provider. If they don't like the service or if they need to change their service at any time, they can do that. And it's just a matter of providing the best possible service for that business that's located in Chicago.
That's interesting. I don't think a lot of people know that commercially there are different businesses who pick up the garbage, because we, I think, are very accustomed to seeing the powder blue streets and sanitation trucks going over to our houses and our apartments. But what you're saying, there are a bunch of businesses that do the commercial side. How many businesses do we have approximately right now servicing the commercial aspect of garbage in Chicago?
Well, there's between 80 and 100 licensed waste haulers within the city of Chicago. And the city of Chicago, because of the alleys and because of the specialized setup that it has, there's all sorts of equipment in the alleys, compactors, boxes, and things like that. And it has a lot to do with the service. For example, a restaurant, you know, you don't want to be picking up their garbage during the time that they operate their business. So some of it is done when it's, you know, less traffic is out and we can get it in and out of there without disturbing the natural flow of business.
So now the city of Chicago came out recently and they said that they want to have one company to pick up all of the commercial garbage in the city. Is that basically what they're saying?
Well, they've come up with this proposal that would divide the city within 12 sections, and then they would go out to bid for each of those sections, and one waste hauler would be awarded that particular franchise for that particular area. They're shopping this idea around with faulty data. It's a big concern for our industry because right now it's an open market. All of our members of the NSWMA are competitors, and they are right there competing against each other to provide the best service because they know if they don't do a good job, that business owner has got an option to change their hauler. Under the city's proposal, when you have a commercial franchise or one particular hauler, if the business owner is not happy with that hauler, too bad. They don't have that opportunity. They have a contract now with the city.
So one of your main concerns is that because of this proposed contract or contracts that would happen in these different sections, these different 12 sections of the city, as you say, Peggy, that businesses wouldn't be able to opt out of those garbage pickup contracts if they weren't satisfied with the actual garbage pickup services.
That's true. And it would not be an open market. They would be dictated as to who their waste hauler would be. And essentially, it shuts out the little guys. We have small business operators, small haulers who've been in business for 40, 50 years. They've got kind of a niche market. And they would not be able to compete in a district or a service area. And they what do they do with all their capital equipment that they've got invested now? I mean, garbage trucks are very expensive. Compactors are very expensive. It will shut out quite a number of businesses that currently, you know, do good job for the businesses.
What do you think is the motivation on the part of the city to go ahead and do something like this, to say we should split the city up into different sections and award just one contract for garbage pickup to each of these sections? Why do you think the city would do something like this?
Well, the city's priorities are kind of questionable. I mean, they're looking to fix a commercial waste system that works while they're unable to improve the residential waste collection. The commercial waste franchise plan that they have claims to that they would increase recycling. But, I mean, if you look at Waste News, with data provided to Waste News, the Chicago commercial recycling participation is one of the best in the nation. Yet if you look at the residential recycling participation, it's probably one of the worst at 18%. And all of our waste haulers provide recycling. So that's not the issue. It's really, you know, it's different. When you're talking about residential, you're talking about waste that's on a regular basis put down at the curb or put at the alley. And commercial, there's all sorts of variables with it. You might have a restaurant which has waste that's very heavy, it's wet, it's sloppy, versus a packaging store, for example, that may have those little popcorn things that they have to throw away. So those specialized services are totally different when you're comparing recycling or residential waste to commercial waste. And the problem with actually picking up recycling from businesses, it's not that we don't offer it. In fact, we like recycling. We're the environmentalists. We're really the true environmentalists. We manage this waste every single day. But it's very hard to get people to participate in a recycling program because there is a cost involved, and we are trying to be green, and we've got these programs in place. But it comes down to what is the service needs of that particular business.
Well, where does this plan go now? It's been proposed, but what happens now?
I know that they're talking with interested groups and neighborhoods and things, but and our association is kind of looking at those as well. And I got to tell you, the business owners and the condos and the folks that actually negotiate their services on behalf of their particular business, this is just a hidden tax. This is just going to be something that they have to pay for, and it's something that's already working. It's working well. And the priorities are kind of askew. There, you know, all I have to do is say the blue bag program with recycling. That's the residential part of it. The commercial recycling rates are 61% participation. That's one of the best in the nation, one of the top five in the nation from the commercial side of it. Yet the recycling on the residential side is you know, what is it, 18%? It's one of the lowest.
Well, I guess the message here is if it's not broke, then don't fix it. And that's what Peggy Macinas is saying. Again, the Midwest Regional Manager for the National Solid Wastes Management Association. You can check out these websites, nswma.org. That's the association's website, nswma.org, and chicagogarbagefacts.com. That's chicagogarbagefacts.com. Peggy, thanks so much for joining us and giving us some insight into the commercial world of garbage pickup.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
This is Andy Herman, executive producer of Outside the Loop on Loyola University's Community Radio, 88.7 WLUW.
And this is your host, Mike Steven, here with you on this 106th edition of OTL. Right now we're listening to the local music of the Wise Bloods. You can check them out on their MySpace page, myspace.com/The Wise Bloods Blues Band. That's The Wise Bloods Blues Band. And they are playing this Thursday at Dark Room. That's an 8 o'clock show. Good bluesy rock and roll stuff from the Wise Bloods. We feature local music every week right here on Outside the Loop Radio. So send us some of yours if you like. OutsideTheLoopRadio.com is how you can get in touch with us. That's our website, OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. Andy, now, I teased this earlier.
You did.
About a naked picture.
I'm intrigued.
I don't know if anyone heard about this, but
it's not of you.
Shockingly, it's not of me.
Okay, good.
But if it was, I know you would have put that up on OutsideTheLoopRadio.com.
I would have, but I don't know if I'm ready for that just
we
yet.
By the way, we should say we have a big like photo gallery up from the party last week at Toons.
Yeah, the big number 105 anniversary party.
And we have a bunch of pictures on Facebook, too. No nudes, though. Sorry, everybody. Sarah Palin, this is from Windy Citizen, by the way. Sarah Palin has inspired editorials, blog posts, investigations, and dispatches galore since her unveiling as the Republican vice presidential nominee 4 weeks ago. Now, she's the subject of a nude portrait unveiled last Thursday and drawing crowds to the Old Town Ale House in Old Town.
What?
Yeah. There is
what do you mean by portrait?
There's a 4 foot tall oil painting.
Painting, okay.
Depicting the current governor of Alaska standing atop a polar bear skin rug in her living room, nude, except for a pair of red stiletto heels and her trademark glasses. In the picture, she also leans on an automatic rifle while beaming a megawatt smile.
Oh, God.
And behind her, a window looks out onto a pristine Alaska landscape, complete with a moose that has just ambled into the frame. Now, you know, if you've been to the Old Town Ale House, there are a bunch of really interesting paintings. I mean, that's not the only nude picture, a nude painting in the Old Town Ale House.
That's why you go.
Well, it's one of the reasons. That's where I think actually that is history for me because Jenny and I believe shared our first kiss at the Old Town.
Really?
House. Yes, sir.
What a romantic setting
among all the nude paintings looking down at us.
What's wrong with you?
I don't. There's a lot, my friend. Now, the according to this article, the Palin portrait has quickly become the bar's star attraction, drawing a steady stream of picture snapping admirers. That's according to the co-owner Bruce Elliott. He modeled this painting on his daughter.
Ew.
Yeah, yeah, that's where this gets a little...
Wait.
This is where it goes south. He employed his daughter, it says here, as the model for Palin's body and drew on photo references to depict her from the neck up. While many women might cringe at the idea of posing nude for their fathers, Grace proudly informs, that's the name of the daughter, Grace proudly informs gawkers that they're staring at her body up on the wall. She says, "He changed my diapers," she said with a shrug. "Think about it like that."
I've got nothing. I don't even want to say anything.
That's weird. That is...
That's creepy.
I mean, hey, you know what? If you're that free with yourself, good, but... The idea of, like, standing in front of my dad naked, weird. And you met my dad
I met Mr. and Mrs. Steven.
At the OTL two-year anniversary party last week. They were there.
And they're great people.
Would you want to stand naked in front of my dad?
No.
Be honest.
As much as I like your parents, no.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Sorry, Dad. He emailed me earlier. I don't want to talk about it. Let's keep moving, though. From garbage to nude pictures to the environment, it flows just like water. Crisp, clean water here on Outside the Loop Radio. Or maybe it's the OTL Kool-Aid. In any case, you're listening to Outside the Loop Radio right here on 88.7 WLUW. I'm your host, Mike Steven, in the soundproof booth with Andy Herman. An issue that we always have to be thinking about and talking about here in Chicago is our local environment and really what's going on in terms of advocacy and the status of our environment and what's being done here in our city of Chicago and state of Illinois. Brian Granahan is on the phone with us right now. Brian is a staff attorney and clean energy advocate for an organization called Environment Illinois. That's a statewide environmental advocacy organization. Brian, thanks for taking the time this evening here on Outside the Loop.
No problem.
Now let's start off talking about some stuff that happened in Congress recently, and I know that recently we've been hearing about this whole economic plan and this bailout and what's been going on with that, but there's actually been some movement in the environmental realm in Congress. Last week, Congress was busy voting on some important legislation having to do with our environment, and in particular, our Great Lakes region here in the Midwest. The Senate was busy voting on something called the Great Lakes Legacy Reauthorization Act, and that passed. Brian, exactly what is that bill all about?
What we're trying to do is clean up contaminated sediment at the Great Lakes in a number of different areas of concern around the Great Lakes region. There's a few in Wisconsin, a few in Indiana. There could be a few eventually in Illinois. What this bill does is it authorizes $54 million a year for 2 years to fund that cleanup project. So if we think about the long-term sustainability of the Great Lakes, we've obviously got to get them clean. And this frees up some funding to do that. Now, the House had passed a version of the bill that would ultimately authorize $150 million per year previously. But the Senate was unable to match that funding level. Still, to have $54 million a year to go ahead and work on this, we think is a good thing and something we need to be moving forward with.
And that, of course, affects us here in Illinois. And it also affects a bunch of other states, too. It's not just, when we talk about this, it's not just our home state.
Right, and there's eight Great Lakes states, and we've each got to be taking steps to clean things up, because if it happens in Illinois, where we have a massive cleanup effort, you know, it doesn't mean a whole lot if it's not happening in Wisconsin, if it's not happening in Minnesota. And we do see that the Great Lakes are threatened by a lot of toxic pollution. You have toxic chemicals like PCBs, mercury, other heavy metals that contaminate rivers and harbors that feed the lakes. That threatens our public health. It threatens the environment. We've got to start taking steps to start cleaning that up, and the Great Lakes legacy being reauthorized is a big step in that direction.
Well, another big bill that was in Congress was this time in the House, the Great Lakes Compact. And I know that this has been going on for a while, talking about getting this together, getting the governors of the Great Lakes states together to get on board with the Great Lakes Compact. What does this bill do?
Well, it's a little bit complicated, but if you think about the problem, it all starts to make sense. So everyone has an interest in making sure that the Great Lakes are sustainable in the long term, and that includes making sure there aren't massive water withdrawals from the Great Lakes. It can only replenish itself at about 1% per year through nature, so we can't keep taking a lot of water out. But if Illinois makes a commitment to doing it, or Indiana makes a commitment to doing it, that doesn't mean a whole lot if Michigan and Wisconsin aren't making those same commitments, for instance. So what the compact is an agreement among all the Great Lakes states, in two Canadian provinces to limit any new or increased out-of-basin diversion. So we're not taking a bunch of water out of the Great Lakes, and we're making sure that it's sustainable in the long term. It also requires all signatory states, which is all of the Great Lakes states and the two Canadian provinces, to develop water conservation and efficiency programs, and it establishes uniform standards across all the states for evaluating new in-basin uses of the Great Lakes. So what we're trying to do is make sure that future generations benefit from the Great Lakes just as we have, and a big key to that is making sure there's simply enough water there, and it's not all being diverted toward massive industrial projects or similar things.
I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions about living in this region is that, well, you know, we live near these big bodies of water. We've got a ton of water. Yeah, and it's going to last a long time. But what you just said, I think that statistic was really just staggering, that, you know, rainfall and melting snow only replenish about 1% of the water every year. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's 90% of the country's fresh surface water resides in the Great Lakes. So every other state, especially states like the southwestern states that are facing water issues, they want what we have. And we need to make sure that the priority is that the people who live here in these Great Lakes states, they can benefit from us first. You know, this is a tremendous natural resource. I think Rahm Emanuel refers to it as our Grand Canyon. And anyone who grew up here or spent a lot of time here, they feel a real connection to the Great Lakes. It's caused a lot of great cities and communities to pop up, like Chicago, but also Milwaukee, Cleveland, Detroit, Buffalo, in Toronto. But, you know, they can only replenish themselves at about 1% per year, so we need to make sure that they're available for future generations. And we've got 33 million people who depend on the Great Lakes for drinking water, and we want to make sure that's available to them, and it isn't just simply diverted toward projects that are ultimately, you know, have maybe some localized benefits from some businesses, but they have costs spread throughout the whole region. So that's why it's key to have every state on board and have every governor on board and to make sure that we're all agreeing to the same thing and we're all being held to the same standards.
Well, how does that work if a state that's not in this region needs some of the water that we have? How has it worked up until now? And through this Great Lakes Compact, how will this process work?
Well, certainly previously private developers could make withdrawals from the Great Lakes if they had local permits, and they could divert that water to projects in other states. And one of the things that prompted the compact was actually a proposal back in 1998 that was a Canadian company moved to export nearly 160 million gallons of Great Lakes water per year to Asia. Well, that's got major regional implications, not just local implications for the company involved. So we needed a compact to ensure that all the states are managing these resources responsibly. Now, right now, we need to make sure that any withdrawals and diversions are being permitted in a responsible fashion and not as part of just race to the bottom because there's no real commitment from the different governing bodies in different areas. This is a wildly popular measure. It was passed by the Senate by a voice vote, passed the House by 390-25. And the commitment that's being made here is just to make sure that everybody has a voice when it comes to any major new regional decisions. So there'll be a Great Lakes Council. This is all the Great Lakes governors. If there's a major need for water somewhere else, then all the governors can agree to it as part of the council.
Just to throw another environmental issue at you, this week, I believe the Chicago Tribune came out with a front page story saying that according to an EPA study, boy, our air here in Chicago isn't doing that great. It ranks about top 10 worst air quality, and I'm paraphrasing, out of all the air quality surveys across the country. What's being done here in Chicago to improve the air quality here in our city?
Well, a lot of local environmental groups are trying to work with the city to increase air quality standards, and we can do that by doing things like cleaning up our buses, for instance, running our buses on natural gas as opposed to on gasoline to ensure that they don't burn off as much toxic chemicals into the air. Hybrid cabs, introducing hybrid cabs, providing incentives for them, requiring cabs to be hybrids is another step that could be taken. Right now, the city is simply contemplating some of these steps. They haven't committed to doing them, but we think that with, you know, a lot of different issues in play, maybe we can get them coming to the table now. Reports like that are very useful because it shows that there's a real need from this. And there's a lot of people in disadvantaged communities who've been feeling the effects of poor air pollution for a long time. But the reality is, unless you see something like this in the papers or on the internet, if you live somewhere else, you might not know about it, or you might take the quality of your air for granted. So now when this gets brought to the surface, we can start talking about solutions, start talking about cleaning up our coal-fired power plants, for instance, and our refineries. And, you know, it really stresses the need that we need to get away from coal because so much of that those toxic chemicals are getting put into the air by coal-fired power plants.
These are very important environmental issues that, again, we need to talk about, we need to think about, and keep reading about these issues as they get out there because it affects all of us, no matter who we are, especially all across the city of Chicago and our Midwest region. Brian Granahan is a staff attorney and clean energy advocate for Environment Illinois. You can go on to environmentillinois.org. That's the website for that organization. Again, environmentillinois.org. And that group, again, is a statewide environmental advocacy organization. Brian, thank you very much for your time and your hard work on this issue.
Thank you. Anytime.
Good environmental update right here on Outside the Loop Radio. That just about wraps up show number 106 here on 88.7 WLUW Chicago. I'm your host, Mike Steven.
And I'm your executive producer, Andy Herman.
OutsideTheLoopRadio.com is our website. We would love for you to hit that up and subscribe to the podcast of the show. Check out our audio archives and lots of pictures that we've put up there as well. Copyright 2008.
Albert James Productions.
Thank you very much for listening to this. You're almost above Ground Audio Magazine here in Chicago. We come your way every Friday at 6 p.m. here on 88.7. Coming up next, Slacky J and the Reggae Vibe Show. So stay tuned for some great reggae music on this Friday evening and have a great weekend. Thanks to DJ Goldie G, Dave Goldman, the OTL theme song composer.
And another issue with last week's show.
Oh, God. Did I forget this?
You forgot to credit Lawyer Danny.
Lawyer Danny.
Who was there in the audience.
Thank you, Lawyer Danny.
Supporting us, there for us.
He is our legal counsel because we get sued a lot. Thank you, Lawyer Danny. Thank you, Andy Herman, executive producer.
Oh, my pleasure.
Good to see you. Stand naked in front of my dad sometime.
No.
You can get a kick out of it. Stay tuned for Slacky J. Thanks for listening to OTL here on WLUW.
Chicago.